This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
With a little love and some tenderness, we'll walk upon the water, we'll rise above the mist, with a little peace and some harmony. We'll take the world together, we'll take them by the hand.
All right, it is the final hour of the work week. Hootie and the Blowfish always sending us on our way here on Inside the Gamecocks, the show. This weekend, on our way to Big Gamecock Weekend. Three games starting at 7 o'clock tonight at Founders Park, as the Razorbacks and the Gamecocks will tangle a lot on the line for both teams. Both of them right now projected as regional hosts. And then, of course, tomorrow night, South Carolina's spring game, 7 o'clock is when they will kick it off inside of Williams-Brice Stadium. And we're honored to have John Strickland. We were scheduled to have Flint, but he's just one big bleep. I'm saying whipped. That publicly.
He's whipped.
I can't say what I'm going to do to him, but I have a plan. I'm going to destroy him, and that starts this weekend. Anyways, I like it. Doesn't matter. We're not going to focus on that. We're focusing on you so here's the thing. So, JC, Phil, look at this. All right, this is why we bring quality in like John Strickland, okay? This cat's in Houston working yesterday. Responds, yeah, I should be able to do it. I'll fly back tonight. Got to drive to Charlotte in the morning, but I should be back by noon. I'll hop on at 1. Michael's just at his house, you know, just pantsing around doing nothing. And here we are. He's not even a part of the conversation. He's just screwing around at home. And John has flown halfway across the country to make it in time for our program.
Yeah. Got back from H-Town last night. I think I walked into the door right at 12:45 last night. And I did cancel my trip to Charlotte. I'm going to end up doing that Sunday afternoon. But it was a long week. I've been in Houston since Monday for work. That's where my office is. And I caught the Astros Braves game while I was out there, and a few meetings, and it was a good week.
How do you like that ballpark?
I love that. I mean, we have season tickets, so we have 12 total tickets. We have some on the first, right behind the dugout on the first baseline. We got some up in club, and then we have 4 seats in the Insperity Club, which is the best place to sit at in the entire place. And I have to share those with some of my coworkers, so I only get those a few times. But yeah, it's a good time out there in Houston.
Dude, that's awesome. And you got to watch when the Braves came. So that's even better.
Well, you know, I grew up a Braves fan, but, you know, the past 14 years, I've kind of leaned towards the Astros just because that's all the games I go to. It's where I take clients to games, and we've had season tickets forever. So it's just kind of hard not to pull for those guys when you're going to a lot of games every year.
Fair enough. Yeah. You're taking people to those games that are, you know, providing your income.
Yeah, exactly.
I'd be an Astros fan too. Yeah. All right, John. Here we go. South Carolina. I can make one guarantee to all of you today. They will win the game tomorrow night. They will not lose this one. That's for sure. All right. So take me back to the spring game when John Strickland played, and obviously times have changed a little bit and how we handle certain things in our programs and stuff like that. But you know, were you fired up to play the spring game? Were your teammates fired up? What was it like?
I mean, yes and no. I mean, it was kind of like, all right, spring's over. We're about to get out of school. We're going into summer workouts. Season's right around the corner. So that, you know, got you excited. You know, your parents, your siblings, your friends or whatever come out to the spring game, watch you play. So, I mean, it was fun. And you know, I like how they do a draft. I think we did a draft maybe my senior year. I think we did a draft. I can't remember. I know for the most part, it was basically, you know, they would just put the ones versus ones and twos versus twos and then mix it up with ones versus twos. So that's how it used to be. But I think my senior year, we did the draft. I mean, that was kind of fun. You know, playing alongside different guys that you maybe not have practiced with, you maybe had some second or third teamers out there playing with you versus, you know, the guys you're in practice with playing with the ones. But, I mean, it's fun. You know, it's nothing like a real game, but, no. I mean, it's a good time.
Yeah. I think they'll draft tonight. I know Lenoris is one of the captains. I'm not sure who the other captain is, but, all right. So we'll get to Lenoris in a second, John, but, who on the offensive side of the football outside of Lenore Sellers are you maybe most excited to watch play tomorrow?
I just want to watch. You know me. I'm going to be watching the offensive line. I want to see how the offensive line performs. I mean, like I told y'all last week, I really like the way this defense is shaping up, and I think we got some really good front seven players on that defense right now. So I want to see how they're able to handle it in live action in front of people. So that's what I'm looking forward to seeing is the O-line. And I think I read that you draft an O-line group. Like there's guys maybe I misread it, but I think it's what I read is they're going to draft in like groups. So you have like these five guys that have been going as the ones during the spring are the guys you can draft and so on and so forth.
Yeah. Beamer put it to where like there were going to be like, if you picked one guy, you might end up getting one or two more when he was talking in the presser about it. Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah.
It's like a package deal.
Yeah.
Right.
So he, because I know that obviously throughout the spring, they've been playing. We talked about this last week, I think, you know, kind of musical chairs, moving guys around, seeing who fits where. This guy can play left guard, but can he play right guard? You know, doing all the things that you do in spring practice, John. But as it pertains to the game, he mentioned on Tuesday that he would like to have his offensive line comfortable with each other. Guys out there who've been standing next to guys before. Why is that important?
I mean, it just builds cohesion in a unit. I mean, it's just like, you know, I've said this before. It's just like with, you know, in your personal life with work or whatever, once you get those people together and doing the same thing over and over and over, you just get better and better and better and comfortable with each other. So that's why that's so important.
Yeah. Kind of like if we had Flint here today, like we would build some cohesion, but he's decided to be a jackass and not join us on the air on Friday. Yeah. I'm going to keep burying him until he's so far under he can't come back to the surface.
Hold on.
In the backfield, I'm really excited about. There you go. Look at that.
I like it. I like it. I hope he's watching right now.
No, there's no way that he is. I know exactly what he's doing right now. Yeah. What We gotta, Phil, what are we gonna do for John? We gotta come up with like,
I'm workshopping. What do you gotta do? I'm creating new backgrounds for next year, so I'm trying to figure out. Yeah,
I've already done this because I do the cut ups. John, I don't know if you've looked at our Instagram account or YouTube Shorts. You became a celebrity based on last. I mean, there's like 14 vignettes of John Strickland spitting knowledge from last week's segment on our social media, all over the place. And then I cut up just your interview, and I said, "This is John Strickland's insider report." And it got more views than anything I've cut up for a specific interview, not only here, but JC and Morgan. And we had a guy from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution that told us the other day that Nick Saban was coming out of retirement to coach somewhere. So viral information there. You beat every single one of them. That's awesome. You're a guru, dude. But, I mean, it's so cool because I sit there flipping through. I was like, what if I watched all this back to back and back? And it's just so – the delivery's so pimp, and it's the info's so good. I mean, I was just blown away. I like, man. I mean, I love your segments, but like when you kind of cut them up and you just have the quick. I mean, so I think it's an insider report. That's my opinion.
Is the it, insider it's report
from the inside. Yeah, I call it an inside Gamecock football with John Strickland.
There we go. I like that.
Strick from the inside, something like that, or. Or from the interior, because he was an interior offensive lineman.
Yeah.
Maybe that's it, too. Weren't you? Yeah, you were center guard. Yeah, you weren't.
So I was a guard when I came in. Then I got moved to center my redshirt freshman year, and I was Larrell Johnson's backup. And then, you know, I saw some action during the season, because I did letter that year, but the Clemson game in 01, Larrell gets hurt on like the first or second drive of the game. And I play the whole entire game as a redshirt. I ain't gonna lie, I was nervous as hell. Played the entire game at center, that Clemson game in 01 that we won here at home. And that was kind of my coming out party.
Yeah, we ran it up their butt that day. I remember. Corey Jenkins had a good day, and I remember that happening too. Now that I think about it, because Larrell had moved over from the defensive line, right?
Yeah.
At some point during y'all's career, and he kind of slid it because there was somebody else that was at center before him that I don't
Scott
know,
Brown.
Scott Brown that graduated. Brown. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, so there you go, man. Yeah, that was good. But yeah, I couldn't say enough. I mean, after watching it 100 times, you know, by editing it and stuff last week about that segment, I thought it was tremendous.
Like, so, well, I try. You know what? Justin King gave me some praise. What was it? It was last week because he pulled some of us players that were out of practice off outside and did some camera interviews with us and asked a bunch of questions. He's like, "Dang, Strick, you're pretty good at this stuff." He said, "That's a great answer. That's great." I said, "Hey, there was a reason Coach Holtz took me to SEC Media Days, all right?"
Yeah, and not Michael. Michael could never get SEC Media Days because he's an idiot. Maybe like front and center. So front and center with John Strickland, something like that. We'll have to think about it. We'll patent it. I'm really excited about watching Juwan Howell and Oscar Attaway tomorrow.
Yeah, I am too. I mean, there's a lot of young guys. I've Bennett, Mazio. I'm ready to see what he does because you know a couple things I saw at a practice with him. You know, I think he's going to be somebody that you watch and slip in and. Who knows, midway through the season, he's starting at slot. I mean, he's had a good spring from everybody I've talked to. So, I mean, the kid's the real deal. There's a reason he was a highly praised recruit. I think he's got a chance to be a really good player and keep that kind of receiver, you know, thing we got going. We're getting receivers drafted into the NFL almost every year. I mean, I think he's one of those guys to watch out for young guys I'm talking about here.
Yeah. Speaking of receiver, the tight end position, a couple of guys who can kind of well, at least maybe one, Josh Simon can kind of flex out there if he needs to and play that position. He's athletic enough to do it. And then Brady Hunt, of course, you know, they like their group of tight ends. I think Shane a couple weeks back had mentioned, you know, just need some of these guys to kind of come along, you know, get off the training table and get out there and play football. But that group's pretty good. I like Brady Hunt. All I keep hearing about him, you throw the ball, he catches it. What have you heard?
Yeah, no, he's been good. He's a big kid too. When I saw him out there, I was just like, dang, he's bigger than I thought he was. I mean, he's a big dude. I mean, he looks the part, that's for sure. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think, you know, we talked about this months ago. Whenever we knew Simon was going to be back this year, and then you're adding Hunt into the mix too. I mean, man, that's a pretty good two tight end rotation right there. I mean, Simon at the end of the year last year, I mean, he really came on the last three or four games of the season. I'm sure you all remember that. I mean, you just started seeing him making all these catches and just breaking tackles. I mean, it would take like three or four guys to get him on the ground. So I'm really excited for the tight ends, and especially, you know, with Simon coming back, man, I'm pretty pumped up about the tight end room, because, you know, those guys are O-linemen / receivers, and I love those guys too.
I think, yeah, I'm with you, man. And I'm like Phil Schubert, y'all remember last year before the season, it was like July and August, I guess, really mainly August. I mean, John, all I heard was, dude, this Simon kid can play. Like, he can play. And that was kind of my prediction, was Josh Simon is going to be – he's going to be a dude. And it took – I don't know the answer. I'm asking you the question. Like, was it – I know early in the year they were maybe a little frustrated with how well he read assignments and blocked and things like that. And he was, you know, doing everything he could to get up to speed. But how much of that – his lack of production – do you think you would attribute to the fact that the offensive line just really wasn't very good?
Well, let's be real. The production that we got out of the offensive line last year because of all the injuries, I mean, it affects everybody who steps on the field on that offensive side of the ball. I mean, Spencer having the numbers he had last year behind that offensive line and that very weak run game is absolutely, I mean, that's just, it's pretty amazing, actually.
Do you think he's getting enough credit for that going into the draft, or do you think he's still being undersold?
No, he's getting credit for it. I've seen a lot of these NFL scout experts and stuff. They've spoke on it and just saying how impressive it was for him to do what he did with what he had to work with so many injuries and true freshmen on the offensive line. I mean, that's tough on a quarterback. I mean, Spence was getting hit just about every play, man. I mean, he really was. He took a beating this past year.
Yeah. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but continue on with what you're talking about with Simon.
Yeah, but no, like, I mean, when you're throwing new guys in and then you got freshman tackles, true freshman tackles, I mean, besides you, like when it comes to run blocking and stuff, I mean, they're going to screw up too. So, you know, if one screws up, it's probably going to screw somebody else up and you're just going to have busted plays. So, I mean, it's a waterfall effect. I mean, it affects everybody on the offense, especially what I was getting to.
I agree with you. I think back to Simon, I thought Trey Knox was solid last year. He caught some flack. I mean, that drop at Georgia, looking back on it, that's pretty brutal. What I thought the difference between the two, and this is why I'm surprised that when Knox came back from injury, he sort of resumed his old role and played, ate up the snaps. Simon was way more physical. After the catch, breaking tackles, running through contact, I thought he was a lot better blocker. And that's not really – blocking is not something he was known for at Western Kentucky. They ran an air raid offense, so he was basically a receiver. And Sean Elliott commented on his blocking earlier this year. So, because these guys are going to have to block now. They're not going to play. I mean, for Elliott.
Yeah.
And so that's exciting to me because I thought Josh was physical enough last year to make a difference in the run game and the throw game. And he's got good hands and he's got good speed. And got a better NIL deal this year, I thought that
he deserved it.
Yeah. He deserves it. And I think when we talk about who's going to catch the passes now, you know, you kind of look at Josh and Brady Hunt as well. And I'll throw Michael Smith in there too. He's not here yet.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But he's a stud. I think the tight ends are going to be a big part of it. And I just hope that I'm sure Dowell will do this. I mean, I hope that they're like, well, hey, maybe two tight ends is better than if it comes to it, than the three receivers we could put out there if we're going to throw the ball. But I'm with you guys on Josh. I thought by the end of last year, nothing against Trey Knox. I love that kid. We all love that guy. But I thought Josh was better. I thought he was better. You know, he's just playing at a better level all the way around. And so that's a positive coming back. When people talk about Carolina not having but four or five starters back, they're not counting Josh Simon, who started for a good portion.
Right.
Which was hurt.
Yeah, I think Simon was a big part of that win streak we went on at the end of the year last year. I mean, he made some big-time catches and runs after the catch. I mean, just knocking people off of him and getting 10, 12 more yards. I mean, that's what you want to see out of a big physical tight end.
Yeah, his yards after contact were really impressive, even just, you know, to the naked eye. I mean, just watching him, just the common observer, it was like, man, dude, that guy, you're going to have to work to bring him down. Is there a familiarity with scheme that he should be more comfortable with playing for Loggins in a second year, John, especially when you consider tight ends have to, you know, learn blocking assignments and things like that on plays?
Yeah, you know, a lot of that holds true for a lot of positions. And, you know, I don't know if running back's really one that, you know, that it's like that. But somebody like a tight end, an offensive lineman, and a quarterback, once you get more comfortable in the scheme you're in and you know it like the back of your hand, I mean, because, you know, you had all last year to play through it. So, okay, you got it in. You're going through it this spring. You'll go through it in fall camp. And then you got that whole nother year of just learning that scheme. So it's going to help a lot of these guys out. That's why I was talking about last week. I was like, you can't get a true identity on this offense yet, all right, because you don't have all your pieces in place right now during spring. But you got a lot of these young guys, these young freshmen that played last year that are older, they're all just getting more and more comfortable with what they're, you know, what's expected of them.
Yeah.
So I think you're going to see a significant improvement. You know, you don't have Spencer Rattler this year. All right. So, but, you know, the young guys got to show up and come along, and the guys who are, that are going to be playing and starting on this team this upcoming year, except for, you know, the Hunt kid and then some of these freshman receivers. And then, you know, you got one new guy running back, but he kind of already knows, because Dow is running some of the similar stuff that he did at Arkansas, which he's already, you know, they've already talked about that. Yeah. So I think it's going to be good for these young guys. And I think you'll see some good improvement out of them. And, you know, once you do something for so long, it's kind of just like in the back of your head, you don't even question it. You just do it.
Yeah. I'm a huge believer in Josh Simon, huge believer in John Strickland too. It's 125. Got some breaking news here, John, from college football. The NCAA has approved a set of rule changes, and we expected this approval, but it's official now. College football will be adding a 2-minute warning starting this year at the end of both halves of play. They also are adopting helmet communications for the first time ever, mirroring what happens in the NFL. The communication will cut off at 15 seconds left on the play clock or when the ball is snapped, of course, if it's prior to the 15 second mark on the play clock. We have to get a quick timeout in. Can you hold on for about 3 minutes? And then when
y'all have me until 2 o'clock. So,
okay, let's squeeze a quick timeout in here. And I want to get your reaction to that and how you think it may positively or negatively impact college football moving forward. The great John Strickland, front and center, no pun intended. We'll be right back.
Mike here for one of the better dining options in the capital city. You know, when I first Mike here for one of the better dining options in the capital city. You know, when I first moved there, I asked people around the radio station, where are the best wings? Well, the consensus was D's Wings. That was then. Today, they still have the best wings, but it's so much more. Now in their new location at 415 Meeting Street in West Columbia, yeah, they get voted the best wings on a routine basis. Yes, they get voted the best sports bar on a routine basis, but they're not just about wings, and really, they're not just a sports bar. It is a family-run local restaurant and bar with 20 TVs and 25 beers on tap. And how about these daily specials? Every Monday night at D's, you've got 75-cent wings from 4 until closing. Tacos on Tuesday. Then on Wednesday, 18 wings and a pitcher of beer for $29. You've also got ribs and oyster bucket specials on Thursday. And no matter how big the party is, 20 or more, no problem. Just call ahead of time and they'll take terrific care of you. They'll do takeout as well. And guess what? A human will answer the phone and take the order. Billy and his staff do an outstanding job. Check out D's. 415 Meeting Street in West Columbia.
Gamecock tradition.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Gamecock Traditions, South Carolina's elite retailer for anything Gamecock related. The best selection for basketball, baseball, football, tailgating, kids stuff, and everything else. If it's got the Gamecock logo, it's gotta be at Gamecock Traditions. Most importantly, they ship it to your doorstep. Order online at GamecockTraditions.com, where there's always a sale. Gamecock Traditions, GamecockTraditions.com, a tradition unlike the others.
So he comes over to me and he says, listen to me, I don't want to hear one more word out of you about my refereeing today. You say one more word about my refereeing, then you're going to be thrown out of this game. And so I turned around to all my parents. I go, hey, parents, I'm not allowed to tell the ref how bad he is, so I'm going to need you to do that for me.
Oh.
He said, you're gone.
I'm a beggar who could use some help. I'm a seeker searching for myself. I'm a rolling stone just waiting on a friend. I'm a lover wishing on a star for another, with a broken heart to hold each other close till the end.
Nana's Porch, nanasporch.com. At Nana's Porch, they cater weddings, parties, and all kinds of special events. Their meals are served buffet style, and seconds, they're encouraged. Plus, they can bring their mobile food unit to bring on-site and serve your guests as a unique alternative for your catering needs. Inquire about rentals as well. nanasporch.com. Find them on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. 336-259-7550.
Tony Pope State Farm is your go-to agent anywhere in South Carolina, North Carolina, or Georgia for the service you deserve at the price you want. So try combining your home, life, auto, and or small business insurance today. Tony Pope State Farm has been in business for more than 30 years and can handle anything you need in the tri-state area. 843-851-2222 or visit TonyPope.com today. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
We'll be right back.
All right, welcome back inside the Gamecocks, the show from the Cinerama Studios. Gamecock Traditions is where you want to go. It's big Gamecock weekend. If you're making your way to town this weekend, head to Lexington or the Village at Sandhill. If you've gone to GamecockTraditions.com and it's already been delivered, well, good. You'll look great tomorrow for the spring game or tonight for the Arkansas game or whenever, whatever event it is. Maybe it's beach volleyball that you're going to attend this afternoon at 5:30. I would, by the way, highly recommend that. It's pretty good stuff. Gamecock Traditions, again, Lexington and the Village at Sandhill, they have everything that you could possibly imagine. The new camo baseball hats are in now as well. And they also have the 30-ounce and the 20-ounce. But guys like John and myself, I mean, we're 30-ounce Gamecock Yeti dudes. Why? Look over John's shoulders. That's why. You put 30 ounces of bourbon in there and just walk around like it's no big deal. Gamecock Traditions has got you covered and all the national championship gear and beyond. All right, so as we went to timeout there, I mentioned the breaking news. The two-minute warning is now a part of college football, second quarter, fourth quarter. Helmet communication. Which one do you think will impact the sport more, at least initially?
I think the helmet communication, but I'll tell you this. I like all of it. I love the two-minute warning. I think especially in a close game, it kind of gives the offense a little bit of an advantage over the defense, which I kind of like. I don't know. I've always liked it in the NFL, how they do the two-minute warning at the end of each half. Keeps you from having to waste the time out. So I don't know. That's just the way I look at it. The helmet communication, I really like. You don't have to worry about somebody, excuse me, stealing your signs. You can call it straight into the field. You can actually really, I mean, here's where it's going to affect some things is you're probably going to see a little faster pace, because if you could just call a play in on the headset instead of having to look over and get a sign or whatever, I mean, that's probably 2 to 3 seconds quicker you can get a play in than the other way.
That's, you're right. There's not a lot of up-tempo in the NFL.
There's not.
But that, like, how fast is Josh Heupel going to run his offense now?
I mean, he'll probably be, as the guy's getting tackled, the headset comes on, he's probably sitting there at the mic calling the play immediately, and they're lining up, boom.
So do you think that this is, I guess it's too early to tell, clearly, but seems a little advantageous for teams that can execute at that pace, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. I mean, it can possibly present some problems for defenses, but I don't know. I like it, personally. That's just me.
Yeah, I kind of figured, like, some teams will be less deliberate at the line of scrimmage. Like, they'll just get it in. You're going to see a lot of snaps, I think, happen prior to that 15 seconds. That way defenses don't have time to adjust. Yeah. That way you don't have to overthink it, especially with younger quarterbacks. Yeah. You just, boom, boom, boom.
Mm-hmm. Now, there's kind of two ways of looking at it here, because some teams, you know, they have their little signs and stuff that they would hold up, and then each position – that sign is dedicated to them to kind of tell them to play, and then the quarterback kind of calls something out. So, you know, I don't know. Maybe because it's just coming to the quarterback and he's got to call to play to everybody. But I still think it gives you maybe a 2 or 3 second advantage over signaling them plays. But I don't know. We'll just see how it works. But I dig it. I'm all about it.
Chicks dig the long ball. Speaking of that, Alabama up on number one, Texas A&M 5-2. If they hold on, it'll be their third win in four opportunities in the last 7 days against the top-ranked team in the country inside of their own ballpark. Maybe that series lost to Alabama isn't that bad after all.
Doesn't look too bad, does it?
Doesn't look too bad, does it, John?
Yeah, they put it to Arkansas last weekend.
Yeah, that's what Carolina's gonna try to do tonight. Also, a little bit of a silver lining to the two-minute timeout. That is, it will not add an extra television break. It will not add that. So they will work that into it. And so it's not like you're just tacking on another one of those, thankfully. Also, if you happen to be a hacker and you can hack into the opposing team's headset, you can maybe send the play in Spanish.
No, we need everybody on our team to learn Mandarin. All right, that's one of the toughest languages to learn. So we'll have them all learn Mandarin, and then you don't have to worry about it.
Yeah, like you know, Billy Napier has like 400 off-field staffers. I'll bet you one of them's a hacker, and one of them is bilingual. Whenever he gets into the headset, the other cat comes on and starts speaking in some foreign language. Nobody knows what the hell's going on. All right, John, on the defensive side of the football, you know, you mentioned this last week, and I'm glad that you were the one that said it. You've seen it with your eyes. I haven't been in the facility for spring practice. But it's hard to not get excited about this group. Number one, they're older. And they return a bunch of players who have proven their worth in their time here. But at the same time, they really did what seems it's April. We'll find out in the fall. But what seems like at this point, a nice job in the transfer portal by adding players who've played some college football, especially that front seven group. And so I'm excited to see them play tomorrow.
Yeah, I'll tell you, and the one I'm going to highlight, kind of like the Josh Simon we talked about on offense, is Bam Martin Scott. Okay, he really came on at the end of the season last year, and from everything I've been told, he's carrying it on into spring ball right now. So I think he's the guy that I'm most excited about going into the fall. The way he played the last three or four games of last year, and if he's still carrying it over to the spring right now and getting even better, I really think our linebackers have a chance to be really good. I mean, we still got to get some of the guys on the two deep and three deep to kind of step up and get a little bit better. But our starting linebackers right now are shaping up to be a pretty darn good group.
Yeah, they are, and they're recruiting well, too. There's going to be some outstanding talent in town this weekend on visits from the linebacker position, including five-star Zayden Walker out of Georgia, which JC noted just a little while ago.
Yeah, you know what? I turned the TV on just to catch a little bit because I was on conference calls, but give me a little rundown on that guy, JC. What we got going on with him?
Zayden Walker.
I'm sure you've already told everybody, but just give me a quick win on this.
I didn't really break it down. He just is a lot like, you know, your five-star linebacker, like Roquan Smith.
Kind of Roquan Smith.
Roquan was Roquan wasn't a five-star. He was the top 80 guy. Roquan, interesting recruitment there. Roquan committed to UCLA, and his mama wouldn't sign the letter of intent.
Yeah.
I guess he I hope the wife's not listening, but I guess he saw some of the chicks out there that look a lot like my wife and enjoyed himself, right, at UCLA. But because it's out there. It's just big time. It's the best selection in the country. But anyway, his mama wouldn't sign it. This is during the Rick era, the end of the Rick era. They just kind of were patient. He's from Albany. I mean, that's a big that's a dog's – you know, that's a dog's
right
trouble.
By Bambridge.
I forgot. I'm sitting there talking about South Georgia. I forgot who I'm talking to. And time went on, and then May rolls around. Sure enough, he signs for Georgia and went on to be a hell of a linebacker. And this kid's from South Georgia, too. He's got that South Georgia nasty. He's the type of kid that Auburn usually gets, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Auburn's made a living down there through the years if they don't go to Georgia. I know nowadays everybody's like, if they don't go to Georgia. Back, you know, the mid-2000s, it was not uncommon for Auburn to come into South Georgia and get three of the top four players.
None of them got John Strickland.
Well, no. I told y'all my recruiting story. I was this close to going to Auburn. I mean, it's pretty close. And then once Tupperville came in, which was my senior year in high school, I just you know, I was all about Coach Bowden when he was there. So that's why I was really hung. And a lot of my friends went to Auburn. I mean, Auburn's 2.5 hours from Baylor.
Yeah,
I mean, it's pretty close.
It's right there. I like
Auburn, by the way.
I mean, this is the same type of kid, like Dylan Stewart, that goes to Alabama, goes to Georgia, goes to Ohio State. Same type of guy.
Yeah.
So I mean, just he's just a linebacker instead of a D end, but you know, from when you watch Dylan Stewart guys in the spring game, nothing against the other guys, you're going to see something a little bit different about that cat. He's going to be a little bit different. And then that's who Zayden Walker is. And, you know, Carolina fought a big battle to get his brother. I mean, flipped it. I've actually never seen South Carolina, the modern recruiting era, flip a player from Auburn, ever.
Yeah.
I mean, most of the time it's the other way around. And that's just how it goes. But Gamecocks flipped Solomon, and now they're right there with the brother. And if they can get him, that's another big – You put him with those two linebackers they got in this class, boy. I was telling them that's probably the best I've seen the linebacking course. It's maybe Body Bags and Kenny Harney back in the day.
Well, we haven't signed a 5-star linebacker since Ricardo, right?
Ricardo Hurley, yeah.
Yeah, that was the last 5-star backer they got. So, and it's Ricardo. I don't want to call him a bust. He just wasn't as good as people thought. He had really hard time learning the defense. Dustin Lindsey actually took his place for his first year. Defense got significantly better. Dustin's probably about like 0.3 seconds slower, like a bunch slower than Ricardo Hurley. But Dustin knew where to go.
Oh yeah, and he was a wild man.
Kids played their butt.
You're talking about Dustin was a wild man.
Jordan, they both were.
Oh yeah, yeah. No,
Jordan.
I thought you were talking about Hurley for a second. I was like, wait.
I love those guys because those two, man, they would get after it. And there was no, like, slow down or give up. And they're the same in real life. I mean, they are full go.
Yeah, I'd say so.
Yeah. I love those guys.
You walk into Rocco's or something, and one of them would have one dude held up on the – the glass, and the other one's over here flipping tables. What's going on in here?
I mean, it was crazy because you had the Lindsey twins and the Brinkley twins back to back, and those were like two sets of twins that were just ass kicking in different ways. Craig says, did we beat Auburn for Louisville Lattimore? Yeah, Carolina's beaten Auburn for players before, but they've never flipped anybody. They flipped Solomon. I mean, he was committed. He was in their class. Now he's in.
They
South
flipped
Carolina.
Solomon. Jordy flipped tables.
It all worked. Trucks. Yeah. Somebody died after the Alabama South Carolina game that year. I mean, it was. They were.
Worked out.
They did. I'm glad they came to South Carolina though. they made some differences. I mean, Dustin especially, it's a shame he got hurt because he would have been the next year. Remember in 07, or 06, 07, 07. Dustin had rehabbed the year before that just never made it back. 07, Brinkley got hurt in the LSU game.
Yes, he
did. Carolina had to start. They had to start some freshmen or something. They were tough. And Dustin could have stepped in and probably helped that defense a little bit.
Yeah, that Brinkley getting hurt in that LSU game, that literally kind of changed the tide of that defense that season with him going down. I think in 07 they had a really good, strong defense with him in there. And then seems like once he got hurt, it kind of just went downhill that year.
Yeah, that was tough. I'm with you, though, John. I'm actually glad their names came up. I liked both Jordy and Dusty. They were just wild. But they're good dudes. Yep. And they were if you were their friend, you were safe at all times.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
There's no question. Not a better teammate than that, knowing those guys got your back. Speaking of the back, how about the secondary? It's got such a blue collar feel to it, filled with local Gamecocks guys who are from the Palmetto State. And I know early in the season last year, I think a lot of us maybe expected to see some different things from the safeties and knowing what they had done as freshmen. But here they are now as juniors, and they're expected to produce, John.
Yeah, no, I think, you know, like I was saying, our front seven, I think our back half, our back, our safeties, I think those guys can wind up being as good as anybody in the conference this year with the guys we got back there. And that's another two guys that I'm really excited about this year. And then, you know, defensive back, you got some good quality players like I mentioned last week, I know you kind of got a few guys that are still vying to lock down that one corner spot. But, man, like I said, this defense, if they can get it all together and get the right guys in place, I think we got a chance to be a pretty special defense. You know, especially on the interior with those older guys like TJ and, you know, Boogie and having a brain fart here.
Tonka,
yep. I mean, just those guys are – they've been around. They played for 3-4 years now. I mean, it's their time to shine. I mean, I think this has got a chance to be a really good interior defensive line for us.
Yeah, I agree with that. This is a nuts and bolts question. John, it's often said in any sport, they can't win without talent. How much talent do you think they have on defense?
I think we have a good bit of time. I mean, if you look at all the guys that are starting for us, you go back and look at them from high school, I mean, the majority of them are pretty high recruits. I mean, so now it's time for them to start living up to that, you know, four-star potential that we got. And then you throw in the young guy, Dylan Stewart. When I watched him in practice last week, like JC was saying, you're going to see a little bit something different. The dude's different, okay? He's a different dude. I watched him on a few pass rushing plays when I was out of practice last week, and he's got that giddy up, get off, and he can come flying around the edge. I mean, I'm super excited about it. You can just tell this is why he's a five-star recruit, just because of his pure athleticism. He his God-given athleticism he was given. I mean, he's a dude for sure.
Can you describe for us the situation that he's in, knowing that there are older and talented guys at his position via the transfer portal, of course, and then young guys like Desmond Umiazulu, who I'm very excited to see as well.
Yeah, me too.
Who played last year. But, like, I remember when Clowney came in, John, and while we were all, as, you know, fans and – viewers of the program, national media, everybody couldn't wait to watch him play, and you knew it was inevitable that he would end up being the star of the show, just like he was. But the coaching staff also knew, led by your friend Brad Lawing, he rest in peace, that they didn't need Jadeveon Clowney to come in and be the star as a freshman. Like, they didn't need him to come in and carry that weight. They had players.
Oh yeah, we had dudes on that 2010 team at the D-line. That's a fact.
Right?
Bunch of NFL vets on that whole entire D-line.
Exactly. They all went to the league. Every friggin' one of them.
Yeah.
So, but this kid, and it's not fair, and I don't mean this that way. Like, I'm not necessarily comparing this group to that group. Again, we haven't seen this group, and that group is the most elite I've ever seen here at that position overall. But what is it like for a freshman like that in your mind? And you've seen in practice, you've been with these players when you played at South Carolina, guys who come in and they feel like they have to shoulder the load. Like, that's a lot on a young kid. This kid doesn't have to do that. He can, I don't want to say take his time, but like, when his time is right, it'll be right, instead of kind of being thrown into the fire and expecting to produce in order for this defense to play well.
Right, right. Well, I'll tell you, I've never been in his shoes. I was a measly 3-star recruit, you know, so not a top 15 guy in the country, you know. But, no, I mean, I'm sure the coaches take care of this, but I'm sure he feels some kind of pressure being at the status he was at and being the top recruit in this past class. I mean, of course he's going to feel like there's some weight on his shoulders that he has to go out and perform and do something, but – the best advice to give the kid is just go play free, go play ball. Don't worry about all that other stuff. And when you do that, all the rest of it will take care of itself. I mean, I think Clowney's such a low-key guy, laid-back guy. I don't think he didn't put that weight on his shoulders. You see the way he plays a freshman. You know, he'd come off the bench. How about that Georgia game in 2010? All the plays he made that game as a freshman, all right? Mm-hmm. So – I mean, you hope that's what you get out of Stewart as well, but he shouldn't put the pressure on himself. He just needs to go have fun, enjoy your time, and the rest of it will take care of itself, especially with how athletic and big this guy is.
We'll wrap it up with this, John. The last time that Sean Elliott, not the last time, but one of the last memories I have of Sean Elliott running out of that tunnel was in 2015 after Coach Spurrier had resigned, and he ran out carrying his visor, as we all remember. He was one out of there, and he was in a hurry to get to the sideline. Sean ran with a purpose. I'm sure y'all crossed paths last week at some point in time. You know, Sean, he is a Gamecock and a South Carolinian through and through. I'm really excited for him, and I'm really excited for Summer and for his kids to be able to walk into Williams-Brice Stadium tomorrow night and see Dad 10 minutes from home.
Yeah, you know he's pumped up about it. Yeah, I went up to him after practice, just told him, hey, Coach, good to see you. Glad you're back, da-da-da-da, just small chat real quick. So haven't had a chance to, like, really dive in and talk to him. But, I mean, if you just watch some of his interviews and what he said to the media, I mean, you can tell. I mean, the grin on his face is, like, up here, you know. He is super pumped to be back here. And, you know, he loves this place. But it's even better for, you know, his wife and his kids to have Dad at home every day instead of, you know, over in Atlanta and having to drive 3 hours back and forth all the time. So, you know, he's going to be fired up. You just – everybody look for him out there in pregame and see what he's up to. He's going to be throwing some
– if there's anybody that can make sure that those
– Oh,
that's right.
He'll have them ready to go. He'll have them ready.
Yeah. If these guys are sleepwalking into a spring game tomorrow night, he'll wake them up. Oh, that's for sure. I'm really, really excited for that. Is it okay for fans that are going to be in Gamecock Park to swing by the Letterman's tailgate just to say hello to folks like yourself tomorrow? I'm sure you'll be there for a little bit at least, won't you?
Yeah, I'm going to go hang out. I'm going to walk around and make the rounds. Definitely come over to Flint's for a little bit. But, yeah, I mean, they can all stop by. And then you got the third annual Bourbon Bash tonight at CB18. I think that money is going towards NIL, if I'm not mistaken.
I'll be there.
Well, JC, I was just going to ask you, make sure you're coming to hang out, right?
I am. My first bourbon bash. I think it's the second bourbon bash, but I know the Gamecock Bourbon guy on Twitter. I'm a big fan of his. So I hope there's beer there, though, because I don't drink bourbon.
Oh, come on, man.
Hey, you don't want me to drink bourbon. I'll be there. I'm looking forward to seeing you guys. I really am. It sounds like it'll be a great time.
Yeah, it'll be fun. So getting to catch up with some old former teammates tonight, and should be a good fun weekend. Hopefully, the baseball team can pull an upset this weekend, and hopefully take at least 2 out of 3. That would just be the cherry on top for the weekend.
Oh, yeah, they're gonna give it a crack tonight. There's no doubt. Give Coach Tannehill a big hug from us here at ITG, and I'm sure. I guess he'll be out there. I would imagine.
He'll be there.
I don't think he's gonna miss that one.
John,
I will give you a shout on the way in tomorrow morning, and our schedule won't be really figured out until after they announce what they're going to do with this series with weather coming in Sunday. So they'll announce that after 5 o'clock today. So, but somehow. We'll link up tomorrow at Williams-Brice Stadium. Look forward to seeing you. Thanks for all you do, and pull them through tomorrow night. Gonna need this is a big one here.
Oh yeah, huge football game tomorrow night, right?
That's right.
I'm kidding, guys. I'm kidding. Come on.
But can't lose.
We'll be over at our condo by the stadium, and we'll swing by Big Fun's condo.
Big fun.
Big Fun Flint. Well,
they don't know. Yeah, they don't know Michael's dad's nickname.
Yeah, Michael Flint's dad's nickname is Big Fun. He used to be a lot of fun.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's kind of chilled though now that he's older, but
oh yeah. Okay. Oh yeah. No doubt.
That's great.
Yep. Times were good.
Times were good.
Now you walk in after the game, he's laid up in a recliner with a glass of wine. When you assholes gonna get out of here?
Yep.
Damn, man.
Yep. Oh man, this is no lie. Back in after I got done playing, it was basically probably 2008 and 2013 before everybody started getting married and having kids and all that. We used to party over there till 3:30, 4 o'clock in the morning after home games, and you know, I'm sure they hated us all over there.
Yeah, that's why he leaves sometimes now after games, you know, goes home. I asked him last season. He's like, I'm getting out of here. Y'all, you keep Mike out of trouble. I was like, yeah. Okay. I said, where are you going? I'm going home. I was like, you're driving home? Hell no. I'm making David drive me home.
Yeah, that's the way to do it.
Man, you get old, turn the condo over to Charlotte.
Yeah,
he just enjoys it now.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
All right, John. Thanks, man. Can't wait to see you.
All right, I'll see you later, JC, and the rest of y'all this weekend.
Hey, keep JC out of trouble too. I'm planning to see him tomorrow.
We'll see how it goes.
You don't ever know. Man.
That should be a short walk, or are you staying in a different place, JC?
I am actually in a different. Am I muted? No, I'm not. I'm actually in West Columbia, so I'll be Ubering it.
That's Uber can handle that.
Yeah. Uber's one call away. You'll be fine.
I'll be good. It'll be good.
Yeah.
Thanks, dude.
Awesome. Right, thanks, John.
Mm-hmm. All right. See y'all.
John Strickland. He's the man. There is the. In the front of Gamecock Park tomorrow, the Letterman's Association will have a it's private just for Carolina football players. But if you walk by, they're always willing to sign autographs and stuff like that. So if anybody's going to be out there, Brewer will be there. Bunch of folks.
Nice. Right.
Did we miss anything today?
No.
I don't think so. I do know this. We didn't get to this. Carolina basketball. Right now is right in the thick of it in the transfer portal. And over the next few days, I'd say keep a pretty close eye on it. Some good stuff could be coming your way.
Coach Paris is on a heater.
He is on a heater. There's no doubt about that. Speaking of heaters, from 5-2 to 6-5, A&M with a grand slam in the fifth inning to take the lead. Game one. Yeah. Heritage being played as well. So we got bunch of good stuff on deck. For all of you headed to the spring game and baseball games and everything in between at Big Gamecock Weekend, have a blast. That's what this weekend's for. Hope your kids enjoy it. Thanks to John Strickland, and, of course, thanks to Stuart Lake for joining us back in hour number one to preview this top 20 matchup between the Razorbacks and the Gamecocks and to all of our guests this week. Next week, we'll have a bunch of football guests in here, and Daniel Kelly will be here on the day of the draft. Brad Crawford will be in next week. Strick will be back. And we've got a couple others in addition to some major bases. It's going to be a very guest driven week around here.
Yeah, a lot of football talk, and then, hopefully some more basketball recruiting. I don't think you're right. We're not done talking about that yet.
No. They're just getting started. Those of you that we will see on Monday, we'll see you Monday. Shotgun start at 9 o'clock out at Fort Jackson as part of the TBS golf tournament. For Phil, yeah. Do what, JC?
No, I didn't say anything.
Oh, okay. For Phil and JC.
Microphone, man.
I'm JB. We'll see you Monday right here on ITG.